What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys out there to be seen. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi! Right. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Just hang on a sec. Ollie?
Yes?
I think it's an imposter. Yeah, well, good. I know that you're aware of the fact that we're doing tour. Have you noticed his badge, Ollie? It's a different number, man. I don't know if this is the real one. I reckon this is a doppelganger, or maybe, you know, one of those pods, you know, the body snatcher pods.
It's a singer.
Oh, all right. Well, look, he's here. We might as well have him. Ollie, at any point, if you see a big long tongue come out and suck my brain clean from my head through my nose, you let me know. Right, John, how you doing? What happened?
I misplaced my badge.
No, you lost it.
No, I've lost it. No,
did someone nick it?
No, went to a launderette, had the badge in the bag, come out of the launderette, and then got back to the flat and something, and then where's my badge? Went back to the launderette, no sign of it. Traced every step, then didn't work yesterday. Went to the carriage office today, filled out the appropriate form, through counter with big glass screen.
So have you lost your original number then?
I am now a big 70,000 number. Yeah. Look at that. I mean, it's like, and I've already been, a guy said to me tonight, I've just got out, mate.
Oh, because they run concurrently. So, all right, do we know who's got the lowest number badge on the road at the moment?
I've seen a four-figure one.
Uh-huh.
You know, like down in the old 7,000 and that.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, slightly older than me.
Yeah.
But now, I've gone back.
So you can't get that badge number back then?
No. Now my licence has been endorsed.
Okay.
And stamped and crossed out.
So you've just got, he's just out. Oh yeah. Why have we got someone who has no idea where they're going?
A butter boy.
Okay, is that what you call him?
A butter boy. You're right. A butter boy. A butter boy, they call you. You're, I'm butter boy. That's what it said to me earlier tonight. Just got out in Croft for Christmas. We have that for weeks now. For years it's going to be like that.
I feel for you. Even if you found that badge, you couldn't go back to it.
If I find it, I might plead. Please. What fee? Whatever. Yeah. Donation, charity. I mean, it looks like no.
Because you're 20,000 further on now, aren't you?
Well, 57 I was.
All right, 13,000, so, yeah.
You know, it's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
All laughing at there now.
Everyone's laughing at you, John. Everyone's laughing. Is that champagne, Ollie? Whoa. I can't believe it. Is that your champagne? Is it all right if you to drink on the shift? Is that all right? You don't mind just getting... It's bad enough you turning up and falling asleep or spending all your time watching Jeremy Kyle. What? The DNA results are coming up in a minute. Right, let me know when they're coming up. But getting drunk on the job, I can't believe it. Right, John, where are we going?
Natural History Museum, an amazing building on the Cromwell Road, the A4, big road that goes into and out of London.
Right.
I take people towards the M4, the airport. A daunting building.
What building are we talking about?
The Natural History Museum.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Road. Junction of Queensgate and Cromwell Road. And at night, this building, especially at night, looks like it's a gothic, it's a temple. You know, it's like something out of, do you remember that film Ghostbusters? And
yeah.
So they're up on the roof then. It gives you that feeling because there are animals. What you'll notice is no matter where you are in this place, outside, inside, even on the posts to the gates, you'll notice carvings, masonry work of animals. They are everywhere. This and they're inside as well in cases and stuff. It's it was jaw dropping down in there today.
It is.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, and it brings back memories again of your.
They got the big diplodocus as you walk in, haven't
they? Yes. Yeah. I thought, do you know what? What's funny? I always thought it was the other way. He was sideways, but he's not. It's just when you're in a school trip, probably got taken in a side door.
It's a different door, yeah.
And you come in a different way or something. It's So, you know, that throws you slightly, it does. And
Steve Yorkshire's got in touch. I'm sorry to break in. He says, can you tell John the cabbie that he doesn't need a badge to sing, OK? That's what he says. Ollie, have we got...
What was that?
Have we got my way yet, Ollie? We need my way immediately. Right, OK, because I think this is going to be a disaster, this one. Has Una woke up yet? Don't let her, she wakes up, Ollie, give her another bit of that drink that I gave her earlier on, okay? Just say, have another sip of this, you'll be right as rain. Just leave it at that, okay? She's watching us.
Yes.
I don't blame her as well, because it's like, I'm a good-looking guy. It's like, there's something to look at. I feel sorry for sitting out there with Ollie. What a drag that must be. Anyway, so you get inside of it.
So we're on the outside, though. I'll tell you what, I parked up in Queensgate, and there is some pain display. Something happened to... drive in the centre of the road, parked up, and then walked down Queensgate, turned left into the actual Cromwell Road, and this is a massive site. Now, in one of their brochures, great picture. I don't care how wide your lens is, very difficult to take a good picture of this place, but that gives you an idea of the size of it, you know, from the outside.
And it is a huge building.
Yeah, and what you do notice is it's the blue and then honey-coloured terracotta tiled, like the stonework. Absolutely stunning. The turrets over the main gate. The fencing itself, I mean, it's typical, really, of what you find, you know, like surrounding these type of buildings. That wrought iron with the big stone columns. The lights, actually, what you will notice is the lights on top of the columns at the gates, they're exact, they are. If you go to the House of Lords, they're exactly the same lights.
Job lot, that's what it is. In fact, that building does look a bit like the House of Lords, doesn't it?
Don't say that, because they might be shutting Parliament soon, and, you know, they're looking for somewhere.
I reckon that would be a good place to do it.
That'd be a fantastic Parliament, except that night it looks very, very eerie. They light the towers up. They do it these dark and sort of like orangey lights, and then there's the white light projected upon the building. Does have a look. You don't believe this is a museum, but it was built. It's a purpose-built museum.
Yeah.
Actually,
I think it's not a bad idea if it's a scary place. Kids love getting scared, and it's good for kids to get scared, you know, because it's an emotion that they learn to you know, to deal with. You know, it's pointless to kids not getting scared every now and then. That's why Doctor Who was such a good thing. And I like it. And I think that if we can get the parliamentarians in there and we can frighten the life out of them...
Might get somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, walked along. What you did notice, though, there are masonry work. It's carvings upon the columns of different animals. Oh, well, wonderful. This one. Regrets I've had a few, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Give me about the carvings.
Just like I said earlier about animals everywhere, or even on the columns to the gates, these beautiful wrought iron gates, there are animals. And then there are the lions, then, the gilded lions then above. As you get near to the there's two gates, and it forms a semicircular on a front sort of courtyard to the actual museum itself. We go into the latter gate, the one shut. And then, midget to your right-hand side, what you will notice is a sort of like a small marketplace. And then, there's an ice rink, also. Something they do annually now. They do that, runs to about the middle of Jan, it does. And it's very, very popular, it seems, with people. But it had that real feel of, like, you know, something else going on outside. And it's quite good use of a bit of, let's be honest, dormant land in the winter, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not really that enjoyable to sit outside. Now, there's a little security lodge, fantastic little building, with a little pitch roof. You can just about see it on that picture there, you can. And lovely.
So that's in there, as you walk in.
So you're going to go into the second gate, you are, and it's a semicircle shape. You walk up the semicircle and then towards a set of stairs, and then what you will notice is the curved arch. The curved archway, but it's set back, it's tiered, a bit like a wedding cake, as it tiers itself back inwards towards the large doors. But what I would ask you to look at is when you get near here, when you go up the stairs, just look at the columns, the actual stonework upon it, the way it's sit, they're like a bevel, they've got patterns. I mean, this is so intricate, the stone masonry work here.
Made by hand.
And it is by hand. This is like stone masonry, it's finest,
yeah.
It isn't its finest, and it surprised me when you look at the detail. And again, what you notice then is two small doors to go in, security check, and then wow, you are amazed, straight away, amazed. That big old dinosaur just there, and the head staring at you.
Yep. And he ain't going to hurt you, though, because he was a herbivore.
Exactly.
He's not going to eat your head.
No, not at all.
Then velociraptors, man, they just snap your head off straight away, then drink the blood as it's spewed out. But then that's why kids love it. They love to get scared.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, and I tell you what I did notice now, the minute you walk in, is again, the look, the terracotta feel. It's very well lit, beautiful ceiling, ornate, again, mosaic tile, black and white tile you're standing upon. It's, you know, I mean, great to clean anyway, easy to clean. It is very, very easy to clean there. And again, this part of the, I mean, it, again, I'm not sure what I mean. I was overawed by the building. To be honest with you, I think you need to go here twice, actually. You need to go once to look at the building and admire the building and the stonework and some of the statues inside. There's a wonderful statue of Darwin at the tail end of the dinosaur.
He was a looker, wasn't he? Well, maybe he wasn't.
Nice shoes, actually, he had on. He did, like...
He was,
Dapper. Very dapper chap, actually. And it's, you know... And I like those statues. They're just sitting in that chair, that pose, with the old knee over one leg and looking rather intelligent.
And you forget about the fact that he was racked with guilt, because it's like he was proving the fact that the story of the Bible wasn't true, yet his missus was a devout Christian who believed every single word of it. And then he was out on that... and he was doing it always. He was going around the world on the Beagle, just writing it all down. And his biggest problem was the trouble he had about his missus. And, you know, like the fact that she loved it. Anyway, John, go on.
Yes, so anyway...
Because it's not just dinosaurs, is it?
No. Look, I'll tell you where we're going to look at today when we go up the stairs. I went into the mineral gallery.
Yeah.
I'm not on about now sparkling water. And because this was amazing.
What, crystals and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, so that's where we will look.
Are they worth any money, do you reckon?
I saw a large golden nugget there.
Good gracious. Yeah,
a replica, though.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I saw some fool's gold as well.
Yeah.
Because there is also a bit of fool's gold about. You know, and that
honestly, sodium oxide, isn't it?
No, but I mean, it's there. They got a piece of fool's gold.
Yeah.
And then they got the largest golden nuggets ever been found.
Ah, I'll tell you what, I love golden nuggets. Do you like golden nuggets, Ollie? I prefer them to sugar puffs.
I know that was coming?
Yeah. You bat them at me and I'll whack them over the boundary.
Yeah. That been laws, didn't I? In the cricket ground, not out.
No problem.
No, but what's interesting, though, what I didn't know now, how did this start off, though? Sir Hans Sloane's.
Right.
You see.
Sloane? Is that Sloane Street?
He was one of the benefactors. He gave... He worked for a time, he did. Where was it? He went to work as the Governor of Jamaica's position in 1687. During 15 months spent there, he carefully recalled the island's natural history, returned to London with hundreds of plant and animal specimens. By the time he died in 1753, so he didn't live a bad life, did he? Sloane had amassed 80,000 objects and books, ranging from natural history to archaeology. That started the collection off. He did. Now, we've dealt with him before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we've looked at his influence in Chelsea, haven't we, you see?
See, I mean, this is someone that we have to be really grateful for.
Yeah.
He discovered chocolate.
Does it hot chocolate, drinking chocolate? This is the man who's, you know, this is amazing.
This man discovered
hot chocolate drinking. No, but this is fantastic. I mean, he saw people in Jamaica drinking this and it was making them feel quite good. Because it's cocoa, isn't it? You know, it's like they give you a little lift, I think, or send you to sleep. And he wasn't sure of the mix. I think they had a bit of milk and bang, done. You've got drinking chocolate. And it's here, look, Sir Hans Sloane's Milk Chocolate by Cadbury Brothers, London and Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
You know, so we've got someone from Chelsea to thank for the old hot chocolate drinking chocolate.
Yeah, I love
that.
Can't be bad,
can it?
And everyone's a fruit and nutcase. Yep. Right, okay.
Now, another individual that's so important here as well is Sir Richard Owen, 1804, 1892. He was, what they say, one of Europe's greatest authorities on the skeletal autonomy. And this is the chap who was the big mover. He campaigned, he did, for a natural history museum. He wanted this to happen, and it did happen. And you see, if you campaign and you're strong enough, willed enough, you can make things happen. And then what was interesting then is the architect of the building, a chap called Alfred Waterhouse, an unknown architect, inherited the project, the Zion Natural History Museum, in 1866. And up in the mineral gallery, when you get a chance to look up on the ceiling, you'll see it, VR, Victoria Rains. They've even got her initials on the ceilings there. I spoke with a couple of the warders there today, and this young lady said, you know, hadn't been there for years, got a job there, and he said, I'm finding something new every day. He's been there for years, and he's finding something new in his building every single day himself. You know, and it is a temple to humanity. It's a temple to the world, to the dinosaur, to the animals, to species that are extinct, some that could be extinct. It It is. Mm-hmm. It's a temple to life. It's a temple to the
evolution of life. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's and it's right that it does, I think, look like a church, in fact. Because something did create, as you say, in the end.
I don't think they... Hang about. Ollie, you're looking mournfully at these biscuits. Would you like a bit of biscuit?
I would. Is it all right if I take one of these?
Of course you can.
Now, you take all of those.
No.
And eat them all.
Just one of these.
If she wakes up, just make sure she drinks more of that drink, okay? Okay.
So anyway, we go on. The museum, it explains it here. I did break the golden rule again. I'm sorry, it's three times a day now, but then the government have been breaking their golden rules, haven't they? Week after week after week. So, you know, I got a programme because it is worth getting the programme. It is a good souvenir.
Why didn't someone throw a boot at Gordon Brown? I think that it would have upped his profile, don't you? Oh, here he goes. Oh, right.
We ducked. That's it. I thought George Bush done quite well.
Yeah, he did. I thought that's George Bush's finest hour.
One of them, I think, you know. But anyway, the terracotta, cheap and easy to clean. That's why they clad the building inside and out in terracotta. Just, to, you know, again, practical Victorians, isn't it?
Yeah.
Practical. Done all that wonderful fancy carving work, all the frilly bits, loads of them here.
And then make
tons
it, and
of
then,
them.
And make it work forever. That was the whole thing. Make it big, make it beautiful, make it efficient, make it work forever.
Built
and if
for
it
the
wasn't
future.
For that, yeah, built for the future. Because if it wasn't for the Victorians' foresightedness, we wouldn't have a sewage system, we wouldn't have
an underground
system, we wouldn't be able to get across the river. And if you think about it, the way they built those things, and they'll last for hundreds of years. We don't build anything now. You know, if you think about what we build now, it's all stuff that you can, you know, like when you think of those glass buildings along the embankment, which I think, between you and me, John, you see those buildings all the time. You know that one that's by Lambeth Bridge, and as you drive over the big
Parliament
glass,
View, it's called.
Do you know what the apartment? Do you know what I reckon that looks like? That looks like a glass shanty town. Because when you look at it, oh, it's a beautiful building. Yeah, but from the outside, you've got different curtains, and you see different decors. And it looks like a millionaire's glass shanty town, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I think it looks ugly.
Well, it looks like someone's going to ski down the bit, because it's sloped, isn't it? I mean, you get the, not the ski, it's a knockout. You went around the little tower.
That's right,
the old...
I loved it's a knockout, didn't you?
It's not our Francier.
Yeah. And he went, he's going to use his joker. Anyway, carry on with
this. I like the European one, I've got to say.
Juste en Frontier, yeah. And there he had like a 17-foot budgie trying to fill up a bowl with a flannel. And he's like, and those budgies would run over and then fall over and they couldn't get out. Well, I love that. Man. That's how we should fight wars.
No, I totally agree. You know, I'm out of it. Or joust. You bring back jousting. World leaders, it'd be much more fun. You know, we can have it at the front of the Natural History Museum. Honestly,
I'd watch it.
It'd be, you know, just one on one, and then you put up what you want to, you know. Anyway, we're in the main foyer of a wonderful museum. We go up the stairs, so we walk past that amazing skeleton of a dinosaur. We walk up the first flight of stairs, and they're just amazing stairs. These are the Fred Astaire and the Ginger Rogers stairs. You feel like when you go up to the first landing now, with Darwin there, that you want to come straight back down. It's those type of stairs. Do you mean that you it reminds you of, no, like when you see that, see what it reminds me of a bit, when you see that picture of Grand Central Station.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's what, no, but it's a slightly smaller version.
Yeah.
Now the ceiling, like I said, is wonderful, ornate and blue, but then you'll notice also lots of columns and curved arches and the gallery around you. There are other floors here that are worth looking at. So we go, I went off to, which way did I go? I went off to the right, I did. We walked off to the right, and then we have the evolution of man, and it talks about, literally, where we were at was like the ape, and how Neanderthal man turned up. But I walked straight through, so I thought, no, I'm going to the mineral gallery. And we come along, beautiful corridor, look back down now at the dinosaur, and it's got this, it just feels like, you feel, actually, you know what, the colour terracotta, you do feel like you're in a big plant pot, actually. That's probably a reasonable description.
So if it all went wrong, they could probably turn that into a garden centre, couldn't they?
Yeah, definitely.
London's garden centre.
A few flower boxes, hanging baskets. Yeah. Do you mean?
No, I know what you mean. When I'm in there, and I was only in there about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, you feel that you're in hallowed halls. That's what I always think.
Yes, no. I haven't been there since I'm about 11, 12. So I thought, this is, you know, brilliant.
I've got one complaint about it, though. There was one complaint, and it's one of my favourite rooms. And it's the large mammal room, where they've got the full-size elephant, and the full-size blue whale. And if you look at the blue whale, it's got dust all over it. Now, how you clean that is another matter, but it was quite dusty.
Yeah. No, that's quite sad. Isn't it?
That's the one bit that
Well, it was clean. It looked clean today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say where I was.
Yeah.
I mean, the cabinets and everything were very very clean. So I come across this big cabinet, and it just looks like a big looked like oak actually. It wasn't as old as it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just full of quartz and a bit of marble, and it's the fact that there's every piece of marble you can find there, and this is what this place is about. People are working behind this, what we see. This is an amazing scientific centre. They are building a Darwin Centre. They are. There are hundreds and thousands of specimens. This is a world-renowned research centre. Mm-hmm. It's on the back of it.
Yeah.
When you're at Queensgate, have a look to your left. You'll see the bit on the back that you can't get into. It's there for people. Are, you know, you're on the site of the Imperial College again, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're on the site of a big university campus. But it's just everything is catalogued here. It literally exists in the world.
Yeah,
is there anything that's ever lived? I mean, I saw my new monkeys today. You know, like little. So someone's been very busy doing the old taxidermy and stuff. And I'll talk about a couple of them. I mean, you just think to yourself like this was.
When I was a kid at school, right opposite our school playground was a taxidermy shop. It's now a chintzy nice, you know, townhouse. It's a taxidermy shop. And throughout my childhood, there was an eagle fighting a fox. And it was a vicious fight in the winter. And this bloke used to, you'd see him with animals just stuffing it. I thought that taxidermy was how have you got into it? I don't think there's too many of them around now. And I reckon
on Essex Road.
Is there?
Called Get Stuffed.
Is there? Really? I like the sound of that.
I've been in trouble there, though.
Ollie, I want to be taxidermied. I want to get stuffed when I die, yeah. And I want to stand and haunt you. Right, go on.
Sorry, not funny. So anyway, I went into the mineral room.
Yeah.
And what impressed me here was the symmetry, the lines of it. And it was, I didn't expect this. And it reminds you of, it's just banks and banks and banks of glass cabinets that you look down upon,
mm-hmm.
slightly angled. You need to be about 7, 8, 9 to get here to enjoy it. 'Cause if you're 4, 5, or 6, you ain't going to see it, basically. And it's just row after row after row after row of different minerals throughout the world. There's a meteor there.
A meteor?
Yeah, a meteorite.
Could that have been the thing that brought the building blocks of life?
Well, they've actually cut a bit of the end off to show you what it's like and polished it up, they did. And it landed in, I think it's Argentina. It did. And it's there, just sitting, it just sits there. And just sits there on its little stand.
Uh-huh.
Meteorite, it tells you. And it tells you where it's from.
Where?
Argentina, part of something like that.
Hang about, that's not a heavenly body, that's another country that we was at war at 25 years ago.
Landed there, and then somehow we've got it here, as per usual. Oh, something else or something else. That's what the
problem is. They ain't having it back.
No, definitely not. And
although if it was a swap for that and the Falklands, I don't know if I might be tempted anyway.
But then along the walls as well, what you do notice is I'm up on the, what would it be? It'd be the first floor. And you got these other cabinets, and all I noticed was just some minerals. It was the mineral gallery, and it's a non-crystallised quartz and opal I looked at, a hawk's eye, a piece of sard. S-A-R-D. I thought,
piece of sard?
Well, exactly.
That's something that your mum would feed you when, you know, it's like sealed, isn't it? We've got some lard. Sealed. Lard. It's like sealed and lard. Sard,
Now, then you got jasper.
Who's it?
Jasper.
Are these all different crystals?
Yeah.
These were
quartz and opals they were.
You can't grow these from a handy science kit that you get for Christmas.
No, and it's just there. And the thing is, the more you look around, it's got the different regions of Britain and the different bits we can get. And then they go very educational, they start talking about metals. I went back then down towards the entrance where I come in, and that's where I found this massive it's a replica of the largest ever golden nugget found in Australia in 1869. It weighed in at 71.4 kilograms,
uh-huh.
yielded 64.8 kilograms of gold. They're saying
64 kilos of gold, man.
64.8 kilograms of gold, yeah.
Who found that? Klondike Pete, was it?
I haven't got a clue, okay. But I'll tell you what, some lucky person. And then next to it was this piece of fool's gold. Just a bit of shiny metal. I mean, it's just, you know, you can see it in a piece of rock. I thought it was quite a good way to put the two together. But this nugget was, you know, you just imagine someone.
What year was that found?
1869.
See, that was after, because the gold rush was 1849.
Mm.
So that's 20 years after the gold rush.
In Australia.
In Australia? That, oh, then it'd have all gone down there.
Well, they say in their thing that'd be worth $500,000. Probably a lot more now, though, seeing the gold price has shot up. Probably about nearer three quarters or probably even a million now.
Yeah.
But we'll know that's a replica.
Right.
It's not real. But what impressed me with this room was how clean the beautiful ceiling, Victoria Rains. And it, you know, again, her marks left upon the whole that whole part of London. The cabinets, the layout. And again, the columns holding the ceiling, the floor up. Animals all over the place. There's just animals everywhere. And you're just... And it is. It says it in the brochure. It doesn't matter where you look, you'll see a face or a carving, it seems, or a drawing of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everywhere. Lack of humans, I'd say. Lack of Londoners in there. It's,
as ever,
I'm sorry, you know, it's poor show, actually. Real poor show. Everyone in there is a visitor to London, appreciating something.
You know, when I was in New York not so long ago, I went to a place called the Cloisters, which is right at the north end of New York, and it was full of New Yorkers.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. I was in there, and I was one of the rarer types that I wasn't... You know, there were a lot of tourists there, but the vast majority were people from the New York area.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, I think sometimes we keep moaning that there's nothing to do in this city, and there's plenty to do.
That's free, isn't it? That's the whole point is...
It's free. Look,
that's free.
If you play the National Lottery, you're funding this programme. You know, you're actually funding it. They've got a big Darwin... exhibition.
I don't play the lottery. Am I allowed in still?
Of course you are. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I got caught on the way out by a market researcher, you know, doing a survey. I did the survey. And the survey
said... What did they ask you?
Loads of questions about the museum, and I answered them all correctly, I thought. You know, and I'll give it marks out of 10.
And did they say you could win something?
No. Just give me a thank you bit of paper at the end.
Okay.
It's a bit upsetting. But, I come out anyway of this gallery, and then what you'll notice is there's another tier. There's another set of stairs, and this is where... all of a sudden, you're on what you appear to be a balconied floor, and then you walk up another level of stairs and another level. Then you come to this absolutely humongous slice of tree, and it's one of these trees that I think found like in the Amazon, you know, and they've got a piece of it, and it's literally you can work out the time, can't you, a timeline from the centre route due to the rings on the tree itself.
How old is that?
This is thousands of years old. This thing, it's just too big.
And who chopped it down? IKEA. No, they didn't, did they?
Bob the Builder, probably.
Bob the Builder.
A B&Q saw. It wasn't, definitely weren't, you know, a saw or anything like that. But this was, no, it's just there.
I don't remember that bit. I'd love
to
see
that.
No,
it's going to be, the problem with this thing is you don't notice it because of the colour and the colour of the wall, and it's not well lit.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of a, that side of things, I think it is a little bit too dark in parts. I mean, that's what I did find now, because then I crossed over to the other side now and then walked through, and this is where they've got some... primates. And they're talking about the endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you get to glass cabinets, and then there's little stuffed marmosets and, you know, quite...
I mean, the sad part
monkeys.
About this place is everything's dead in there.
Yes.
And that's the sad part of it.
They have a place in Tring, don't they? They have another one in Tring that's linked to them. It seems the Rothschilds as well. All the names are involved at this place. I mean, there's a picture here of the eccentric Rothschild hitched zebras. He used to hitch zebras to his carriage. Zebras.
Yeah.
And then he used to ride around a giant tortoise.
Yeah, I know. But then the rich can do whatever they want.
No. But I mean, the idea...
bring me a fried bear. I mean, it's
the
like
idea
that's...
of a zebra, though, pulling a carriage.
That would shut you up on the road, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't bib that one if you saw it.
It's a bit awkward when you get on a zebra crossing, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what was going on, John. No. By the way, we've got a few emails here. First of all, someone saying, forget all this, I want to hear John the cabbie sing. And then Hugh's got in touch. Now,
Hugh, good chap, yeah.
Right, well, get out. You think you were gutted. Get this. He said he lost his badge 5 years ago. It was in the 31,000.
You're
still a butterball.
Butterboy.
Yeah, butterboy. There we go. Right, what else we got, John? Because everybody wants to hear you sing.
Pardon? What was that?
Everybody
was
wants that? To hear you sing.
No, I mean, but it's a brief look at these museums.
We've seen the big three, haven't we?
We've been indoors for four.
The big four, yeah.
Yeah, and it is the big four. There's plenty more in London, and, you know... next year, at a later date when the weather's a bit wet, we'll go back indoors again. I mean, next time when after the Christmas break, we'll talk the walk, we're back out on the road again.
Right, where are we going to go? Have you worked one out yet?
We're going North London.
All right.
We're going to go up to Hampstead. We're going up to Hampstead itself.
Oh, that'd be lovely, yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't been to that part of the world, we haven't, and through the village. if you can call it a village anymore.
It's not a village. I mean, no. A village doesn't have that much traffic going through it,
doesn't it? Doesn't have a Tesco or a McDonald's either.
Try getting across that road at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
We're still busy late at night sometimes. But the heath itself, there are still wonderful, beautiful parts to that part of London. I mean, it's stunning. I'm getting nervous now. I don't sing, you see.
Right. Oh, hey, are we ready for this? Hey, we're next. Might need to clip this. We haven't got the music, John, so I'll just...
Oh, my God, you're a lot.
And
now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived
this is what
a life
want.
As bold.
This is top class at the
I've
table.
Travelled each and every highway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Ring. Ah, that'll do, John.
That's enough.
I've got to try and keep some listeners. Sing along with me now, though.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Well, there you go, Omar. World peace will be upon us in the new year. We did get John to sing a verse. Bit of song and chorus, get one X Factor.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Oh, I tell you what, John, we've had a good year as we talk the walk, haven't we?
We definitely.
We'll ruin it next year. Here we go.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Right, John McKennedy there. I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year, mate.
Yes, same for you as well, sir.
Here we go. Oi!
You're listening to London's radio station.